babe. Animals on the earth have no voice and no choice. It's up to us as stewards of our home planet to protect them and give them hope. Lost and Found for the Holidays is all about hope and trust, as well as fear and danger.
Bless the beef and the children, for in this world they have no voice.
And now our story. Let me tell you all about Murphy and his family, the Harolds, who live in southeastern Wisconsin. It's a bright, crisp Sunday morning in the middle of December, and the Harold family is getting ready to make a 200-mile trip up north to visit Aunt Carolyn, an annual event. It's been this way for over 10 years. Last night, a heavy blanket of soft, sluffy snow fell, leaving this part of Wisconsin looking like a greeting card one would send to a close friend or member of the family. Ryan and Samantha's father are packing the family SUV, the kind that is four-wheel drive, perfect for winter roads packed with snow. Their mom is putting lunch together, which the family will eat on the way to Aunt Carolyn's. Murphy is making his first road trip, and Ryan is saying,
Sam, do you think Mom and Dad will let us watch a DVD movie on the trip? Or they want us to play one of those stupid road games?
Probably those dorky games. You know how they get. It's a family thing. I think Mom calls it bonding.
Boring. Not bonding. That's more like it.
Where's Murph?
I think I saw him hiding under your bed. He does that when he thinks we're leaving him home alone.
I'll go and find him. He probably has to go outside anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
Murphy has never taken such a long trip before. As he sprawls out under the bed, Murphy thinks he's going to be left alone at home, which means it's time for him to start scooting back and forth under the bed. It's his very special game. Soon he'll be off on the biggest journey of his very young life, one that he'll never forget, and neither will we.
Sam, where's Dad? Mom's freaking out looking for him.
He just finished packing the car.
Don't tell me, girl. Tell Mom.
Mom! Dad's in the garage, packing up the car.
Yeah, we're all good to go. All ready. Time to rock and roll.
Ryan, you're flipping out. So what else is new? Murphy! There you are. Good boy. Let's go outside.
As Sammy and Murphy are out in the backyard, the rest of the family has already loaded everything into the SUV. Ryan's friend from down the street, Kyle, stops by to give Ryan a CD he borrowed.
Hey man, here's the CD back.
Oh, did you like it? Or did you just burn a bootleg copy for yourself to trade?
Hey there, Mr. Harold. Now Ryan, you know I would never make an illegal copy of a CD. I respect the work of all writers and performers.
Kyle, hello? You're talking to me, Ryan, remember? Dad, ignore Kyle. He's just joking.
Where are you guys going?
It's our annual trip to my Aunt Carolyn's up near Medford. It's a pretty cool place in the woods. Lots of deer.
Too bad it's not hunting season.
Kyle, please don't talk that way in front of Murphy.
Sammy, please. I know you say border collies are smart, but that's really weird.
Okay, maybe you didn't see Murphy's ears go up when you said D-E-E-R.
I missed that, but thanks for pointing it out.
Kyle, say goodbye. We're already late and it's starting to snow.
Later, guys. Have a safe trip to Auntie Carolyn's. Murphy, you take care of the family, since I can't be there.
As the family heads off down the road, Murphy looks out the rear window as Kyle gets further and further away, and smaller, until he's all gone. Something must be in the air, because Murphy seems to know he's going far away, really far away. When the family nears Aunt Carolyn's house, Ryan looks out the window and notices a bunch of deer running from the side of the road back deeper into the woods.
Sammy, did you see all those deer? Murph would be romping up a storm out there.
I know. That's when he wouldn't be listening to either of us and just doing what he wants instead.
Border collies do need their exercise, you know. Remember that time we started to herd Tyler? Murph thought Tyler was a baby lamb.
Yeah, I remember. Tyler didn't know what was going on. Look, there's Aunt Carolyn's house. This is going to be a blast!
Let me take a moment to tell you a bit about Aunt Carolyn. She has been a teacher, artist, composer, waitress, and oh yes, back in the dark ages, the 1960s, she was a hippie, and later a war protester. But now she loves living out in the country, away from big cities, a place where she can enjoy nature and continue her writing. Auntie C is a little on the eccentric side and always enjoys visits from her family.
Aunt Carolyn, meet Murphy. Murphy, meet Aunt C.
Hold on, wait, hold just a minute.
What's going on, Sammy?
I was going to do that.
Do what?
Make the formal introductions.
Oh, that's okay, kids. Murphy and I already introduced ourselves, didn't we, Murphy?
Yeah, right. Now, just how did you two do that?
Ryan, you've grown since I saw you last. And what's this I see? A little bit of peach fuzz on your chin?
Cut it out.
You go, girl.
I'll tell you how we both took care of getting to know each other. He already knows things about me that hardly anyone does.
What are you talking about?
Well, he knows I haven't been feeling well lately. Nothing to worry about.
This, I can't wait to hear how he figured all that out.
We just looked at each other. He looked at me, right into my eyes. I knew it. He knew it. That's all. End of story. What's next?
Wait a minute. What did he know?
That we are soulmates. We both knew it.
Yeah, right. Did he talk to you like the border collie in the movie Babe?
No. But the pigs up the road stop by sometimes to chat.
I've had enough. And look at Murphy. He's already tuning you out.
We sometimes call that sleeping.
Now, why don't you kids take Murphy out back so that he can get his real look at the forest? Maybe he'll see a squirrel.
Good idea. Tell Mom we'll be in soon.
Later.
Come on, Murphy. Let's take a walk.
What a delightful song from the Riverport Chorus. Thanks so much. And now back to our story, Lost and Found for the Holidays. As Murphy and the kids check out the forest, they run into Isaac and Katie, who live down the road. They have their Irish setter, Molly, with them.
Let's head down to the river.
Look, Murphy, there's another doggie.
Hey there, where are you guys from?
We're from downstate, and we're visiting our aunt who lives up here.
You mean Carolyn?
Yep, that's her. Say, what's your dog's name?
Molly. Say hello, girl. What's your collie's name?
Murphy. Border collie.
Border collie?
Yeah, Murphy is a border collie.
You mean he's not like Lassie?
Nope. Lassie is a rough collie. Murphy is a border collie, not the Lassie type collie. Everybody always says that.
How long will you be at your aunt's?
Just a couple of days.
Now that Murphy and Molly have gotten better acquainted, it only took the first sounds of a crackling branch, maybe stepped on by a deer, to get them scampering off as both bark with excitement. Ryan and Sammy take off after the dogs while Katie and Isaac just stand there looking at each other in amazement.
Ryan, here they are, down by the river. Hey, you two, let's head back up the road.
There you are. We should head back. Hey, there they go.
They both listen well. You could learn something from them, you know.
Yeah, let's go.
Thanks for getting the dogs, but Molly always does that. Her game, you know, she always comes back. Those woods can get pretty scary when you get on the other side of the river. Really hard to find your way back, and lots of...
Katie, we should be going. It's getting late, almost time for dinner.
Okay, good meeting you guys. See you around.
Sure, later.
Bye.
Let's head back.
Wasn't that just a little weird?
What?
How he stopped her from telling us about the other side of the river.
You got me. Who knows why he did that? I think your imagination is going in fast forward as usual.
Just what is on the other side of the river? Something tells me that we'll find out before this story comes to an end. Speaking of our story, Carolyn, along with Mom and Dad, are wondering where the kids and Murphy are.
Well, nice of you kids to join us. I thought you'd all gone greyhound.
Gone what?
She means she thought you'd run off.
Kids, this is Stephanie. I call her Steph. She comes and helps out around the house. Has been doing it since Uncle Phil passed.
Don't worry, Aunt C. We are here now, and we can help you.
Don't get all geeked, okay?
Chill, girl. Sammy's cool.
Whatever.
Your folks already left for that little get-together in town.
They did?
Parents can be so drastic. Gotta jet home, cook up stuff for Carl.
Carl?
Her dad.
Later.
Bye, Stephanie. See you tomorrow.
She's a weirdette.
Be nice. She's quite helpful to me, and she has a lot on her mind.
Auntie C, where's Jake?
Oh, sweetie, Jake is not doing well. He's 14 and has bad arthritis in his hips. Hard for him to get around. Stays in his kennel most of the time now.
Maybe he'd like to meet Murphy.
Sammy, can you help me in the kitchen while Ryan sets the table?
How about if I help out by setting the table? Now the fork's on the left side, or do they go on the right? I always forget.
After dinner, Samantha takes Murphy and Jake out back while Ryan and Carolyn clear the table and do the dishes. This is the first time the two have had a few minutes to just chat. Ryan is surprised when Carolyn says,
Ryan, I just wanted Sammy out back so I could tell you that Jake doesn't have much time left. He has cancer, and the doctor said that maybe he has a couple of months to live.
Really? Isn't there anything they can do?
No. We both just try and enjoy each and every day we have together. He's all I have left, Ryan. He's my little Jake boy. We've been together ever since he was just a little puppy.
Well, is there anything I could do? Anything?
Thanks, sweetie. I can't think of anything. If I do, I'll let you know.
We're back. I took it easy with Jake. Even Murphy knows. He was very gentle with Jake.
Oh, that's good, Sammy. You're a good girl.
Are you okay? It looks like you've been crying.
Nah, just my allergies. I'm okay.
Well, I just worry about you. Is it because of...
Sammy, why don't we play some chess? We haven't done that in a long time.
As long as you don't use that Kasparov linear move on me, or whatever you call it.
I promise. Really.
Kids, it's after 11. We should probably head off to bed. Ryan, why don't you turn on the outside floodlights for your parents? They should be home after midnight.
You got it. Good night.
Ryan did what he had to, making sure Sammy didn't pick up on Carolyn's sadness due to Jake's terminal illness. Sammy does not handle things like that well. But then, who does? After another day at Aunt C's, the family is spending its last day out in the country. Murphy hasn't had a chance to really go romping, so this might be his day, his last chance before heading home. What an experience it will be.
Okay, kids, what's on your agenda for this morning before you all have to head home?
Not too much. Just hang for a while, pack up the car, and chug out of here.
Tell the parents that our kids have gone for a last walk out back with Murphy.
Can Jake come with us?
Oh, I think he'd be better just staying close to home. He's a bit tired.
Let's head out, Samantha.
Okay, Ryan, if you insist.
Later.
It's just you and me, kiddo. Jake? Now, where are you, Jake?
Carolyn goes back to the laundry room where Jake has his toys and bed. Carolyn always goes back there in the morning to give Jake one of his favorite treats, and of course, one of her special kisses. But this morning is different, one she'll never forget. When she arrives in Jake's room, he lifts up his head to say hello as Carolyn stoops down to give him his very special kiss just behind his right ear. Jake licks Carolyn's face. He then puts his head down and closes his eyes.
See, where are you?
Oh, I'm here, Ryan, just putting the breakfast dishes away, like I said.
You've been crying, and please don't say it's just your allergies this time.
I won't. It's Jake. He's gone. He waited for me to give him his very special kiss. But he'll always be in my heart, and forever in my thoughts. When my father died, when I was very young, I'll always remember what the preacher said at the funeral. Part of it says, I know I'll never see you again, but the love you gave me through all the years will take away these tears. So, goodbye, my friend.
As the family gets ready to leave, Stephanie stops by once again to comfort Carolyn. Ryan is also in the kitchen with Carolyn. Stephanie is amazed when she walks up to the house and can't wait to tell Carolyn.
Carolyn, you have to look out the side window near Jake's doghouse.
Why?
Please.
As Carolyn looks out that window, she's speechless.
What is it, Aunt C?
Just look.
Dogs. At least 7 or 8 of them, all lying on the ground near Jake's doghouse. Their heads on the ground, perfectly silent, totally still. Almost like a vigil or a wake. The dogs stayed there, quiet and still, for over 2 hours. They returned each day at about 11 in the morning for about a week. Carolyn didn't tell anyone else about this. She wanted this to be their private time with Jake. She even joined them once for about 15 minutes, then quietly stood up and went inside.
Rushing things, but that the holes again now. bells in the window, carols at the spinning. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. It hasn't stood a single flight, but Santa dear, we're in a hurry. So climb down the chimney, bring on the brightest string of lights I've ever seen. Slice up the fruitcake, it's time we hung some tinsel on that evergreen bough. For I've grown a little leaner, grown a little colder, grown a little sadder, grown a little older, and I need a little angel sitting on my shoulder. I need a little Christmas.
Once again, we thank the wonderful award-winning Riverport Chorus for joining us today. And now, back to our story. As the family is getting ready to head home, Ryan gets ready to take Murphy out back to do his business before they all hit the snow-packed roads.
I'll be right back.
When Ryan opens the door of the SUV, Murphy goes flying out, heading out back. Ryan is not surprised and tells everyone,
like I said before, he knows the way already. He's got the routine locked.
He's really doing major scoot butt this time.
Ryan takes chase, and when he gets out back, he can't even see Murphy. The wind is kicked up, and snow is really blowing up a storm.
Murphy, come back.
As Ryan gets further and further away, we still hear a few faint barks. A wolf begins to howl in the distance, and the wind gets stronger.
Where is he? He's been gone for 20 minutes.
Oh, I fell asleep. Sorry. Why are you still here?
Murphy, he's nowhere to be found. Ryan, too.
Well, a big storm is heading our way. The Weather Service, they're saying the Highway 64 towards I-39 might be closed in a couple of hours.
Ryan got all the way to the river and went across a very narrow footbridge. He did see some tracks, probably Murphy's. Ryan has been gone for over an hour, and the snow is really starting to drift. He finally makes his way back to the SUV.
Where is he? My little Murphy.
He crossed a small bridge over the river. I saw his tracks, and also a few deer tracks, I think.
Oh, I better go inside and call Mr. McKellar. He's with the Forest Ranger Service. He lives a mile up that dirt road. He'll know what to do. I don't want to get you even more worried, but it's supposed to be about 10 degrees tonight with a really harsh wind chill. We'll find him. We will. Yes.
It's all my fault. I should have been right on his tail when he jetted out of here.
Well, let me go and call. You guys better head out. I'll call your cell phone every 20 minutes or so. Now, don't worry, kiddo. He may need a miracle, but we'll find him.
It takes the family at least 15 minutes to leave. Ryan and Sammy even made another trip back towards the river. By that time, Ranger McKellar arrived and joined them out in the woods for a few minutes before the kids had to leave. Heading home, but without Murphy, hardly anyone spoke a word. It's December 22nd, so the traffic will probably make the ride home slower than usual. As the family is worried sick about little Murphy, what's the high-energy border collie up to? Murphy spotted a white-tailed rabbit and is chasing the little critter under tree branches over fluffy mounds of snow and is even diving into a few snowdrifts, then out the other side. The rabbit is barely staying ahead of Murphy, but then this is a game, and maybe, just maybe, Murphy is letting the rabbit stay ahead. It wouldn't be as much fun otherwise. Checking back with the family, they are less than an hour away from home, and Carolyn has called Ryan 5 times. Nothing has changed.
I better call Aunt C.
Again? You just spoke to her 15 minutes ago.
It's all my fault. If only I had...
It's always those if-onlys that come flying out of your mouth. It's done. It happened. Build the bridge. Get over it.
He'll be found. I know it. Before you know it, little Murph will be running out and playing in our backyard. He likes that. He's my little buddy.
Maybe it is time to call Aunt Carolyn. Please. Now! Right now!
It's now morning. Murphy finished his Mad Hatter romp with the little bunny, and someone is feeding him breakfast. Her name is Morgan, 10 years old.
I wish you had a collar. so I knew what to call you. I think I'll call you Shadow because you're black and white. Shadow, my name is Morgan. Glad to meet you.
Murphy, or Shadow as Morgan calls him, showed up at her doorstep late last night, minus a collar, with his fur full of snow and mud. Ryan and Sammy didn't sleep a wink, which means Ryan is wired and Sammy tries to keep him from going ballistic.
She hasn't called for hours. Why? Okay, yes, I'll call her. She won't mind, right?
Maybe. Get up, put on your shoes, drive over to pick up Tyler and Lizzie. They're staying here tonight.
My shoes? What?
You're wearing them. Go!
Why are they coming over here?
Their parents are going to Chicago for the night.
I'm out of here. Later.
No, sooner. Not later. We need to talk to Carolyn soon. Got it?
I'm there.
Stay in the zone, brother. Be there.
Murphy is still at Morgan's house, and she is already planning to tell all of her friends about Murphy. I mean, Shadow.
Shadow, let's go out back and play ball. It'll be fun.
Even though Morgan enjoys playing ball with her new friend, Murphy knows it's time to leave. He wants to go home.
Come on, Shadow. Go get the ball. Shadow, stay. Shadow, come back. Shadow!
Murphy is on the run again with only one thing on his mind. His home.
Sammy, Aunt Carolyn said that someone thought they saw Murphy running through their yard.
Are they checking that out?
Yeah, she'll call back.
Lizzie, why don't we go play some cards? We'll let Ryan entertain Tyler.
Yeah, right.
Sammy, what do you think will happen to Murphy?
Lizzie, I think someone will find him and then call us.
How?
His collar has our name and phone number on it.
And you really think someone will do that?
Yes.
Ryan, you want to shoot some baskets?
Tyler, it's 10 degrees outside and the driveway is packed with snow. It's the most perfect day for shooting hoops.
I do it all the time.
Let's just play Xbox. I got Call of Duty.
Cool. My friend Zach has it.
That's cool. Are you good?
I don't have it yet. I have to save some more money.
Keep saving. The animation is awesome.
Yeah. I heard that it's better than anything before. It's totally Pixar, like Cars Story 2 and Toy Story 3.
Calm down, kid. It's only a game.
I'm cool.
Yeah, you are. Just wish I could be.
Because of Murphy?
Yeah.
It's now the afternoon of December 23rd. Murphy is still gone. Ryan and Sammy are not as sure now that Murphy will ever get home. They just hope he's okay. As the late afternoon sun begins to set, Murphy is all alone and scared as he roams around the forest with all kinds of strange sounds. Murphy ends up in the backyard of the house where Brandon and Ashley live. Brandon looks out the windows and sees Murphy sitting on the patio.
Ashley, come here quick!
What is it?
Look, there's a dog out back!
Really? Why don't we... Brandon, where are you?
Come on in, buddy.
Here's a towel.
Let me dry you off, little guy.
No collar or tag. Maybe he has one of those microchips.
Maybe our vet has a way to check for a chip.
Okay, good idea. In the meantime, let's get him something to eat and a dry place to sleep.
More helping hands and warm hearts to help little Murphy. But will he ever get home? It's already the morning of the 24th. Murphy's been gone almost 3 days. When Brandon takes Murphy outside, it's not long before Murphy takes off into the woods. The longer he's gone, the chances of him being found get bleaker and bleaker.
Sammy, Aunt Carolyn just called someone, and they definitely saw Murphy yesterday.
Where?
About 30 miles from their house. That's all they know.
Finally, something.
Yeah, something, but not Murphy.
Yeah, no Murphy.
This all makes me very sad. Very sad.
I know, Tyler. I know what you mean.
Sammy, we should play a game or do something fun.
I'm not in the mood for fun.
Me neither. Murphy being gone really has me dragging.
Tomorrow will not be a happy day.
A bit later in the evening, Carolyn called back. Murphy's collar was found on the partially frozen river right near a small bridge. It had to be retrieved with a pole because the water wasn't totally frozen and no one wanted to fall into the very icy water. Ryan was white. It doesn't look like the 25th is going to be a good day. Not at all.
We'll see about that. Must hurry. Gotta get the sleigh loaded up. Tick-tock. Gotta get a move on. Say, who's your new little friend?
It's Murphy. And he just told me that he's really ready to get home. He misses his family. By the way, Chris, are you finally going to stop the ho-ho-ho this year? Oh, Murphy, you're such a cute little boy. I better get you all clean and fresh. Big trip ahead of you.
My dear, we best be on our way. Boy, won't Sammy and Ryan be surprised. And the ho-ho-ho is my trademark. My branding, you know.
As midnight is soon approaching, the lights in the Harold family's house are all turned off. It's time for everyone to be asleep, although Ryan knows that he won't be able to. All he's thinking about is little Murphy.
What's that noise? Sounds like music or bells. What the...
Ryan! Ryan, did you hear that? What's the matter?
Not sure. I thought I saw something downstairs.
Let's go and check it out.
Okay.
As Sammy and Ryan creep down the stairs, they start to hear a strange yet remindful sound. Scratching. Near the front door of the house.
It's coming from the porch.
Is the house alarm off?
I think so.
Okay.
Ryan, just open the door.
Oh my gosh, it's Murphy.
Murphy!
It's really him. And he's all clean and fresh, all brushed out.
What's that hooked onto his collar? It's a note.
Ryan, still shocked, reaches down and takes the paper that is neatly folded and taped to Murphy's collar. And he opens it and starts to read.
Murphy is a very special little dog, and we both know just how much all of you love him. This is a very special gift from us both. Very special.
Is it signed?
Yeah, sort of. It's at Mr. K.
Mr. K?
And look, over by that table where Tyler and Lizzie left the cookies and milk.
One cookie is gone, and the glass is half full. And look... Now there's one of Murphy's favorite doggy treats.
You don't think that sleigh was reindeer and you know who?
No, there's no way. Right?
At this point, I'm just happy our little Murphy is home for real and not in my dreams.
As Ryan gives Sammy a hug, Murphy runs to the door and barks. He barks to tell the kids to open the door, which they do. And they hear music and what sounds like sleigh bells. Could the Mr. K have been for Chris? As in Kris Kringle? You know, Santa Claus? We'll never know. What we do know is that little Murphy is home. This has been a magical story. All about Murphy, a border collie puppy. Lost and now found for the holidays. And remember, bless the beasts and the children. Give them shelter from a storm. Keep them safe. Keep them warm. For in this world, they have no voice. For the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players, I'm Gregory Berg.
Lost and Found for the Holidays was an original story written and created for the 91.1 Players and the WGTD Radio Theater by Stephen Brown and Michael Alstrup. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of O'Connor, Dumais, Aaliyah, and McTernan, a full-service law firm with an emphasis on personal injury, civil litigation, and business law. Also supporting the WGTD Radio Theater is the not-for-profit Brown Ulstra Performing Arts Foundation, located in Salem, Wisconsin. The mission of the foundation is to develop and promote excellence in performing arts in Wisconsin and the Midwest. Our stars from the 91.1 players were Gregory Berg, Evan Zolke, Alexa Eves, Bailey Laird, Krista Ozer, Baz Spencer, Julie Burton, Renee Bouchel, Susan Lean, Terry Myers, Cameron Spencer, and Kathy Zolke. On our production staff, Barb Tyler was our special effects director, and Bob Newman was our sound engineer. The entire production today was directed by Don Jensen. We all wish to extend our thanks to you for listening to Lost and Found for the Holidays. This program completes the 7th season of the WGTD Radio Theater, and we'd like to thank you for making it all worthwhile. We are putting the finishing touches on our 8th season, which begins on January 28th, and it's our 5th annual cartoon show on the radio. And finally, our program today is dedicated to the real Border Collie, Murphy, who was born on February 16th of 2001 and passed away on May 8th of 2001, just 11 weeks old. Thank you so much for listening to the WGTD Radio Theater and today's story, Lost and Found for the Holidays. From our entire cast, crew, and audience, we wish all of you happy holidays. Listening to WGTD 91.1 FM Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Our forecast from the National Weather Service is calling for partly sunny skies for the remainder of the day. Our highs will be in the upper 20s, and for tonight, mostly clear skies. Lows will be near 20. It's currently 19 degrees in Kenosha and Racine and 17 degrees in Elkhorn and Lake Geneva.
that's Charlie Parker. And I'm Bob Dumay, one of the jazz hosts on WGTD HD2. I'd like to invite you to listen to HD2, your place for 24/7 jazz in the Kenosha Racine Corridor.
Your gateway to public radio is WGTD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, NPR News and Wisconsin Public Radio.
You're listening to WGTD, HD, 91.1, Kenosha, Racine, streaming online at WGTD.org.
We're live at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. I'm Margaret Junthwaite, and today we bring you a bold new production of a great old favorite, Charles Gounod's Faust. And what an extraordinary cast we have for you. Jonas Kaufmann sings the title role of the man who sells his soul to the devil for a second chance at youth and love. Marina Poplavskaya is the innocent Marguerite, and René Papa is Mephistopheles. Yannick Nézet-Séguin conducts this production by Tony-winning director Des Makhanov, which opened here less than 2 weeks ago. This performance is also being seen live in HD in movie theaters around the world. During intermission, our HD host, mezzo-soprano Joyce DiDonato, will interview our stars, and we'll bring you the opera quiz featuring tenor Lawrence Brownlee. It's all coming up in just a few minutes, so stay with us.
This performance is being broadcast live over the Toll Brothers Metropolitan Opera International Radio Network. Sponsored by Toll Brothers, America's luxury home builder, with generous long-term support from the Annenberg Foundation and the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and through contributions from listeners worldwide.
I'm Margaret Junthwaite, and commentator Ira Siff is with me. The Met has a rich history with Gounod's Faust. It was the first opera the company ever performed when it opened in 1883. It's been an enduring favorite. And now we have a new production by Des Makhanov featuring a cast that's been electrifying audiences. It's the first time Jonas Kaufmann and Marina Poplavskaya have sung this opera at the Met.
And they're a very exciting pair, Kaufmann with his elegant musicianship and suave good looks, and Poplavskaya so wonderfully vulnerable and touching in her role.
And audiences are going wild for René Papa, such a...